Today's date is May 26, 2000, and I'm going to pick up Charlie Harbor, and we're going to Boggy Slough, the Boggy Slough area, Trinity and Hardin County. Trinity and Houston counties. Go ahead.
Richie Wells he come out there at the woods with a new horse. He bought him a horse, and that foreman under him, he asked Richie, said, how old is that horse? Did you look in his mouth? He talked fast. He said, hell no, I didn't look under in his mouth. Said I could have told just as much if I looked under his tail. Richie was quite a character.
And that fellow you were telling me about, Edgar McAdams, he lived at Rayville and was responsible for keeping the mules.
Yeah. He fed them and harnessed them and take them to the woods.
And that was in along what
37.
Time period? In 37.
See, they had the camp there, and they only had, he lived there, and all the remainders of the crew, they come out there on the work truck. The truck drivers and the teamsters and all that crew, they...
So they were actually using some trucks then?
Oh, yeah.
In the 30s, okay.
Yeah, they was using trucks, putting them logs out on the railroad track there. They had logs for 2 miles up down that track, and they'd take the loader and stack them just as high as they could stack them and leave them out there until they got ready to...
So this was all during the time that Fastrow,
well,
many miles north, was going on, huh?
No, they left there and went back to Fastrow.
Oh.
See, they went back to Fastrow in 1937. Now, I don't know when they left there. I never did know. But they brought that camp back in the 30s. I don't know just what year they'd come back to Rayville there. But they started cutting. That's when they first started cutting in Boggy Slough, was 1937. And that was the first of this select harvesting that they done for years, you know, that they just cut a certain amount instead of clear cutting. So they, that's where they started, right there around that Rayville, is marking that timber.
So they didn't do any cutting in that area before?
No, that was the first cutting that I knew anything about. See, when they moved that camp, I don't know what year, you know that, what year they moved it, you had the history of it.
Fastrow started, I think, in 22.
Well, in 28, they left out here at this camp in Eason Lake.
Okay.
That's when the last ones moved out of there.
28.
Yeah, 1928. That's when we left out of Boggy Slough on the north end.
Yeah, I imagine what was the case is they didn't just stop one camp and all of a sudden start up another one. They probably overlapped a few years.
They built a railroad track, see, from this old Al Cedar camp and went down and crossed the river at another place in there.
Yeah, you were talking about the south of the main line, huh?
Yeah, south, down the river, south of there. Some of the old piling still sticking up in the river there where they crossed it. That's the way they logged Trinity County. See, they
logged Trinity out of the Al Cedar area.
Yeah, out of the Al Cedar area, see. That part of it. Now, the first camp, you see, was that old camp over there at Irish.
Yeah, I think they called that one Camp 2.
Yeah.
Camp number 2. But Camp number 1 was supposedly pretty close to where Rayville is now. What they call Camp number 1.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought that they had...
Well, they probably logged over there earlier, but they didn't log up in that country till in the 30s.
Okay.
And my father said old Titus Mooney, he come to Dieball as a bull puncher. He drove an ox team. Well, when the camp in 1913, when it was up there at Walkerton, they put him on an engine. That's where he started. Well, my father told this story, said that old Titus Mooney's wife,
Sudie, I think was her name.
Well, they wanted him to work on Sunday, and she didn't want him to work. So they said that, my father said that he, when he got on that train and pulled out, she got up in the middle of the track, and he said old Titus blowed at her just like he would an animal. When she went off the track, he'd taken part of her dress. When he never did even look back. He said he never looked back.
Left her in the smoke along the track.
Yes.
Goodbye so long.
But he was quite a character. And he batted his eyes. There was something wrong with him. He batted his eyes continuously. He had no control over his eyes. And
see, I wondered about him because his obituary that was written up in the Lufkin newspaper said he was a native of Cherokee County. So he was born up there. And the other day, Nanny Brazil, or you know, Ernest and Nanny, she was telling me that she thought that he was logging. He was driving log trains out of when they were logging out of Lindsay Springs, which was before 1913. But if you said your father remembered him in 1913,
now you remember him. He was working up there then. Yeah, now he may have worked somewhere else before.
Before that, okay.
But he remembered him there.
You see, I don't think Nanny would have actually remembered him during that time. That was before she was even born. See how high the river is. Looks pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Well, he didn't look back for nothing. That one man, a fellow by the name of Lee Springs, he had a bunch of goats. There was a deep cut in there on that railroad track. He had a big herd of goats. And he run through them goats one morning and killed 40 some odd head of them. But I know I was at my sister's house one time and had a big gray horse. And I remember I was about 8 or 9 years old. And that horse was screwed up and down that railroad track, pieces of it, for half a mile. He never did even slow up. And here's...
Oh, yeah. Passed it up.
Now, right up Gunner's where the GL and N come in and hit the TSE.
Yeah, it, there.
What, yeah,
is that what it's called?
Yeah, there. And they run together there till they got over there. He run plumb on into Lufkin on the TSE.
That's right, from Groveton.
Yeah. It was still running in the 30s. I remember when that train used to come through here. It had an old screaming whistle on that train that come through.
Now, how far is there off of the highway?
It's just right there, just off of Highway 94, where it come in there.
Is there anything there today that you can kind of see where the tracks were and stuff?
There might be something that, but see, this highway was built, I believe, in 1936. And the old highway is over here where this, the keeper of Boggy Slough lives now.
Don Dietz?
Yeah, where Don Dietz lives here.
Yeah, that's what Elaine Lockhart was telling me about. Where the old highway was further north.
Yeah.
Because they used to live, I think her family lived on it, then they moved off or something like that.
Well, she kind of wanted to go with us, and I didn't know whether you wanted to take
her. Oh, yeah. Well, that would have been fine.
Yeah.
We'll go another time, maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She'd like to come back in here, she told me the other day.
Has this always been the main entrance into this area?
This goes across this lake here.
Is this what they call Black Cat?
Yeah, this is Black Cat Lake.
Is it just a natural low area?
It was what they used to call Bluff Prairie.
Bluff Prairie.
And they didn't have to dam a place up 50 feet wide where the outlet was over here at Arthur Temple's clubhouse.
Huh.
Man, there's some bass crappie in that thing. I come through here one time, Clyde Thompson was sitting right up here fishing, and he had two poles out, and I had to sit here an hour and take fish off the hook for him. He was, didn't have nobody with him, and he was catching them fish just as fast as he could catch them.
Yeah, we're going to have to come back and bring our poles.
Yeah. This, it is full of fish, and years ago there was more bullfrogs right here than any place back in the 50s of any place I ever seen in my life. Me and Game Warden and another fella, we got in a boat one night and we caught right at 100 frogs out there. It's a large, it would want two, taking two men to carry them in a sack. I don't know where they still got any.
So Dave Kinley and Judge Minton were the only two that they let build in the early days.
Yes.
That was in the 20s.
They were the only two people that built clubhouses in here. And they built the main clubhouse then, see, for everybody to use. That's where they had all their parties and everything.
But how far away is the main, what was the main clubhouse from where we are now?
It, the first one was, I guess a couple of miles up Boggy Slough. There's nothing there now. I don't know where you want to drive in there and look at that or not.
There's no remains or anything?
No remains there. I can show you the road that goes to it.
There's some big pines every so often.
I tell you, you talk about timber. They've got it in this place here.
Get some of that on tape.
Yeah, we had a net.
Tell me about catching deer in Boggy Slough and taking them to Scrapping Valley.
And we had this net, and I don't know where you ever seen one of or not, but it's a big net, and you set it up with five poles, one on each corner, and then you got a pole in the center. Each one of them poles has a dynamite cap on it with a wiring that goes to a battery. And we'd wait till those deer got under there. We'd throw it. Now this goes to the old Boggy Slough clubhouse, right on the bank of Slough. But we'd throw that thing, and then we'd have to take those deer out of there. We throwed it right there at Arthur Temple's clubhouse one time. We had eight deer under there, including a big 8-point buck. And I'll tell you, it taken us for 30, 40 minutes to ever untangle his horns out of that net. And we figured he was going to fight when he got out of there. But he didn't. All he done when he got out, I want you to know he was ready to leave there. But we'd take those deer, we'd load them in trailers and haul them to Scrapping Valley and turn them loose. Me and a fellow by the name of J.D. Brock, who's a rider here in Eastern Lake, coming in Boggy Slough.
What did they do through there on the to the right?
Well, they got a food plot there or something.
Okay.
This must be that road that goes down to the old Boggy Slough clubhouse. This is it right here.
That's the one. Okay.
That's the one right there.
Clubhouse.
If you pull to the right, you'll go to the old, where the old Boggy Slough clubhouse. That there's another dam on. Boggy Slough up there. So I was born just outside of the pasture up there, outside of this pasture. And, go on up Kachina Creek in there further. He was farming on the place in there then.
Go ahead.
This was the old Johnson, called Johnson Hill.
Johnson Hill, where the clubhouse was built.
Yeah. I don't know where this will take us out at here.
Oh, okay. You want me to turn around?
Let me turn around and go back. Here. And about the time it jumped, that thing went off. And I want you to know, that old man run 50 yards. Way back. So we go back yet this way.
Which way? We're going this way?
No, back
that way. Okay, I got turned around.
And he liked to fart me and he liked to whoop Dad's ass.
That was old Dave Kinley, huh?
Yeah. But like I say, he'd come out here and stay. And till the last minute, he never would get to that office on time.
Now, he's living all the way out here, and he had to go to the eyeball every day.
Well, he'd come spend the night out here.
Oh, okay.
That was his home up there, on right there across the street from the police department now. I spent a many a night in that house.
Hmm.
That big brick house there, they got an office building in it now. They were going to tear it down. And they decided to save it right here, about here is where them big water towers was at.
Huh.
There's boilers, actually. Two big boilers there that they had.
But tell me again, how many cattle were out here that J.J. Ray was running?
Oh, they're running over 3,000 head.
3,000?
Yeah.
That was from the 10s through the 30, early 30s?
I don't know just as the teens. I don't know just what year this thing started.
But at least in the 20s.
Yeah.
Through the 20s, when you were a little boy.
About 31. Last time we moved in here, lived right over here in this country. Now, I don't know where you can get through this road right here. There used to be that you could go all the way and go up that old railroad track and go to Neff this way. But let's go this way.
Okay.
There'll be a road turned left here. But here, I guess, right after I was born, moved in here, but I guess he was already working in here. He helped fence all of this. They was cross fences. They must have been 1,000 miles cross fences in here. All of this pasture right here.
Now all this was pasture land.
Oh yeah.
None of these pines were here.
Well, the 8 pines was here.
Oh, but they just ran cattle.
Run cattle through it.
But there wasn't all this undergrowth.
No.
It was just pasture land and pines.
Mm-hmm.
And the grass grew pretty good.
Oh yeah, there was lots of grass in here, but they, back in them days, you know, they didn't know what fertilizer was.
Yeah.
They didn't fertilize. Now this is another hill, I'll tell you. It was something else when it rained. I see they've had to rock it now.
Yeah.
They had all these pastures named. This one right here was Dark Hollow.
Dark Hollow.
I don't know how they ever...
Your father was a pasture rider for...
No, he just farmed in here.
Farmed in here. I guess he didn't stay put long enough to have squatter's rights.
No. And this is where, right in here, now this is all burnt off when that boy burned it that time. He started right in here and it went to almost to Kachina Creek.
Is that Clyde Thompson or
something? I mean, that was Clyde's stand. They still left the old names
just
on
call
there.
Them that.
But I don't know, you've read that book, that Backwoodsman, that old boy wrote.
Thad Sitton? Yeah.
Yeah, Thad Sitton. There's a lot of stuff in there that is not true about this company, I don't think. This fella Frank Ashby, I don't worry that part of it you've read or not.
No, I don't think
but he
so.
Tells about that they taking these people's hogs and they taking their cattle and everything else. I don't know of anything that they offered to take. Now, when we left out of here, they let us run cattle in here. We'll go to the left here.
Okay.
And we had, I imagine my father had 100 head of hogs. They bought our hog mark. They let him run cattle. He had 100 head of cattle in here when we moved out in 19.
Not a big deer. Ran through there. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But I think they pretty well treated people fair. Of course.
So you're saying Southern Pine bought your father's hog brand?
Yeah.
Basically just saying we're buying everything you got here?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that's the way they done these other people when they bought their place. Everybody had hogs and cattle, had a hog mark.
this hog mark here. I still remember the company mark. I put so many marks on them hogs. This crop split. Look, there's some more deer. Do you see them?
Just got a glimpse of. Oh, they got lots of deer in here. When you got between 25 and 30,000 acres under
protection.
Under a high fence.
There goes a little baby one.
Yeah. I want to find.
My little boy would like to see those.
Well, I'll show you around on these roads. Maybe you can remember them. Maybe you can come back and... That's Lem. I don't know.
L-E-M.
Yeah, I don't know who that was. Twice in my life. And you don't know whether that man's going to kill you or not.
Well, either poachers or...
Yeah, poachers. And a fella's got the advantage of you. If you're a smart person, you'll back up.
Yeah.
People say, well, I wouldn't have backed up, but you don't know what...
Yeah, they can't pay you enough to...
Now, when you're looking down and...
Put your life on the line.
One
like
of them
that.
Old boys that done that to me, there goes a fox squirrel.
He's a high jumper.
Yeah. And I caught him when he come out of the pasture. I filed on him. And the county attorney
is that a railroad?
Now that may be the railroad right there. Yeah, that's the railroad. We're going right down the old railroad track. See, they didn't.
I'm gonna
water fish.
Okay, we just took a couple pictures at general area called Louisville. Was that named? Who was that named after?
I don't know. Who's that?
We just left Rayville. That's a 12-mile board. So we're probably about, what, 14-mile board here?
Yeah, we was 14 there at Rayville.
Okay.
We're about...
We got Neff at 17.6 or 18.
We're somewhere around 15-mile board.
Say you were riding your horse through here, quiet and still, and then the log train was coming along. Now, how far off would you hear it? You could probably hear them a good ways away.
Oh, you could hear them 2 miles away.
I think there's some cross ties up there.
Yeah, you see, that crosses the old railroad track there.
I think I see some cross ties still.
They are.
Yeah, they're... I'm going to get out and take a few pictures, okay? I'll be right back.
Okay.
Okay, you were saying that Bonnie Brown and Dred Devereaux rebuilt which bridges?
The Long Slough Bridge in Kachina Creek Bottom and the Long Slough, the Creek Bridge across Kachina Creek.
And that was in the
40s.
In the 40s.
Yeah, that's when they rebuilt those.
What type of... We know quite a bit about Dred Devereaux and his personality. What kind of personality did Bonnie Brown have?
Oh, Bonnie was a nice feller, but he was a feller that wanted to be boss. In fact...
You think he got that from being around Dred?
Well, I don't know.
Did he want to be like Dred?
If he didn't have but one man working on that crew, he would not turn a hand to try to hip him. He'd stand right there over him.
Oh, okay.
And that's the type of person he was. He was wanted to be boss. He was boss. And he was section foreman, and he let everybody know he was section foreman.
Oh.
So that's the way Bonnie Brown was. Otherwise, he was a good person, but he just didn't hip his men at all. Now, they had an old man by the name of B. Connor that lived up there at Kinleyville. He kept up this railroad track from Kinleyville to almost to Neff. Well, I think he's down there to what they call the Pisgah Crossing.
Now, that's B. Connor, the initial?
Yeah.
Connor.
B. Connor.
And he's the same Connor bunch of that Connor Creek up there, huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's where he come from.
Houston County.
Yeah. But that old man's a good man. If it didn't look like his men got enough work done, he'd get out there and drive spikes and help them. But Bonnie Brown was just a different character. He didn't help them in no way.
What about Dredd? Did he do work?
I never did see him doing no work. He just told them how to do it.
Told them how to do it. And let them know if they weren't doing it right.
That's right. Yeah, that's the way he done it. And that slew bridge, them old piling that rotted off up at the top.
Uh-huh.
You know how they cut them piling off is good under the ground. And they take and cut them piling off at the top of the ground, put a 12 by 12 on top of that, and then they take and cut off a piling the length of there up to the railroad track and put under it. That way they had a good solid foundation, see.
Now, were those pilings treated?
Oh, yeah.
What were they, chrysoted?
Yeah.
See, in 50 or 51, the company started that chrysoting plant there in Diboll. Do you remember that?
Yeah, they had it on up into the 60s. I don't know what year that they done away with that chrysoting plant.
I don't either. I don't know when they stopped that.
I know I worked at Ryan's Lake down there. I was at Ryan's Lake Hunting Club in 61 and in 62 and 63. Stayed there a couple of years until I went to East Lake. And I hung around there. The one of the directors was named Claude Welch. And he was the one that I don't know exactly who was over that chrysoting plant then. But he was the one that kept it running. I didn't know then that pressure hose going into that pressure tanks would freeze up in cold weather. They'd have to take somebody and put them there, and all night they'd be there with a cutting torch heating them lines to keep them freezing up. Where that pressure was going in them air lines, putting that pressure treatment on it. They keep the heat on them to keep them freezing up.
I didn't even think to notice, but I guess all these cabins and things that we looked at, did they have electricity or not?
Yeah, as far as the electricity used to come to up to the old clubhouse. Yeah, that's right, because that old house there had electricity to it. There.
Like the one at Joe Denman's house and those others?
Yeah.
Did they have electricity?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember seeing one had an electric water pump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And up there on the pipeline, there at old Spencer Knutson.
Yeah, he had
power there.
See, we're now at the Easton Lake Hunting Club. I guess this will be one of the clubhouses now. Well, Chuck Croson's one of the people that own it. And Charlie Harbor was telling me that Matt Harris lived in it, and then Bonnie Brown is a section foreman's house.
Yeah.
And it's right here on the railroad tracks. And you were telling me that on this side of the railroad tracks, right across the tracks from the house, was what? What was right back there?
The depot.
The depot.
The depot was right there where that skinny shed is right now.
What happened to the depot? When and...
I don't know when that thing disappeared from here after they done away with that old camp.
But that right there where that skinning shed is about
where the depot is. Right.
Oak shade trees. Yeah, we didn't go down this one. Where was that water tower?
It was right here just behind this house right here. Was it right there?
Right there.
Yeah. There's part of it still right in there where he pushed it off.
Huh. Mr. Harbor said he never cared much for hunting. He liked to fish, but he didn't care much for hunting. He was born and raised and lived most of his life in the woods and loved being in the woods and everything connected with it, but never cared much for hunting, and said that hunters today aren't really sportsmen, they're just killers. And he said that he had only killed one deer in his life and just never had much use for hunting.